of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Thank you.
Be careful, Nigel.
That's good.
You're going to be hit by a raining man.
That's good. Good evening, Northern California. It's Wednesday, January 11th, 2023. Nigel and James and Yvonne.
It's 47 degrees outside the studio.
Yes, and it's raining.
And it's wet.
And
yay, we don't get to say this very often, though, right?
No, but knowing our area, you better enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, right.
Which, from what I understand, is going to be another 2 weeks.
Really?
Yep.
I have not been watching the weather at all.
Well, you have.
Well, I've been watching it with my own eyes, but not any forecasting. So we still have rain in store.
Yes.
Hmm.
a lot of it. And I think there's been some, some flooding and obviously lots of...
Well, throughout the state, like, we've gotten, I think, a fair share of rain here for sure, but nothing like central, coastal,
no.
Southern.
And I think most people are happy about it, and there's one happy camper in specifically, and that's Matt Doyle, Shasta Caverns. He's very happy.
Yeah?
He's very happy because he just said...
the lake's filling up.
Yeah. We passed last year's high mark and about to go past the 100-foot mark. Probably be out this weekend.
He's my old boss.
Oh, were you a docent? Were you a docent?
You got any
dirt? I worked there.
At the office or the cave?
In the cave. I was a tour guide.
In the cave.
I can't remember the script, but it was fun, and it was nice.
Don't call yourself a tour guide. You were a docent.
What about the fudge that they make?
They used to.
Well, I have no idea.
Does this go with the whole Raining Men thing again?
No, sorry, but it's Shasta Caverns.
Shasta Caverns used to produce their own Shasta fudge. You used to be able to buy fresh fudge there.
I used to give it as a gift to our distributors for KMF.
They don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And you know what would be really cool, too, is that, all those stalagmites and stalactites and all that stuff that's in the caves was all produced, obviously, by water running through the rock, right? But we haven't had sufficient rain in, I can't even tell you how long, to where you could actually see water running in the caves. Back when I used to go there for school, when we were in grade school, those caves used to actually be dripping and there were huge ponds of water inside. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing, and now they're all dry. So hopefully maybe they're getting enough water to run.
Matt, if you're listening.
Call us. Tell us.
Tell us all about it.
I heard the other day some people were here from out of town because that's what we get in our stores so much now. It's awesome, and I love talking with people. And they were really upset because they couldn't go to the caverns. They were closed, and I didn't know why.
Well, I have a feeling this is going to be a booming year for the lake. Right, I think it's going to be full.
Which they need.
Right.
As long as the water management of California or governor or whoever it is that manages the water there doesn't let it out. Right? Last year there was the same thing. That half of that water crisis was because, and they finally admitted it, which I am proud of them for stepping up and saying something, that they made a mistake, but they let all the water out at the beginning of the year because they just assumed that, they got a lot of water in the beginning of the year and they thought, we're going to get a good rain season, and then it just stopped. And then there was no more water, and they had let it all out. So I'm hoping, let the lake fill up before you start letting water out, right? I mean, people haven't had any issues of flooding downstream for, 20 years, so.
Well, there's a lot of water.
Yeah.
And if it's true that it's going to
keep
fill up past the 100-foot mark this weekend, and then it's going to continue raining for the next 2 weeks.
Increasing the outlet, a little volume and stuff. But a lot of it is, too,
skiing
snowpack.
Awesome.
What kind of snowpack we have to continue to feed it through the summer. That's the really critical part, I think, partially.
So I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be a good year. So I don't know about you, but it's January 11th, and to me it already feels like March.
It has been a slow roll into January for me, too. I do feel like it's at least in the Februarys.
I read an interesting article today about how the whole pandemic experience has actually changed people's perception with to time.
Absolutely.
And relation to time. I mean, I don't know how you feel.
We don't have the perception of time anymore.
Well, it's changed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you.
But I had a bad perception of it before it came, so it's even worse now. You can ask Yvonne.
He's not good with time.
He's not good with time.
It escapes me.
Yeah.
Yes. So I do think it's interesting because it feels like forever ago that we ran out of toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And
because I've been doing heavy wiping since.
No, but do you remember? I mean, what a crazy time that was.
I know.
We have people here, well, all over the place, right? We're hoarding toilet paper out of the grocery stores.
Mm-hmm. Now it's milk and eggs.
Now it's milk and eggs. And what? How much are eggs now? Like $9 or something?
$9,
like
yeah. $8, $9.
Isn't that silly? Remember what we were talking about last year? Get to know your farmer. So mm-hmm. in Shasta County, you better get to know your farmer. Which leads us to you and...
My hands?
No. Well, your hands.
My hands.
No, the organization that you're working with, Sprouts.
A Little Sprouts.
Yeah.
Sprouts. So we have entered a great relationship with Little Sprouts Market, and we now are carrying their fresh sprouts that are in our fridge. We have built a walk-in fridge in our warehouse. They are going down to Chico. There's a sushi restaurant that wants to sell their walk-in fridge, so we are looking at that as a second walk-in fridge. And then we also have a freezer because we're going to be working with a lot of our local farmers and producers to have, obviously cold storage for fruits and vegetables. And meats that will be frozen. And Little Sprouts is known for their farmer or their CSA boxes. So you can go to their website or come into the store and sign up. We will be a drop-off location for all that, and we will be implementing some opportunities for people to come in and get fresh eggs and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that kind of reminds
me of what they're doing over in Humboldt with the Food Hub, something similar.
Yeah.
A distribution center for all the farmers mm-hmm. to come and drop off their stuff and then go through.
And you know, it's funny because I do all kinds of things, right? We have our bee box in the backyard, yes, and I have my hens, my little lovelies. However, I have to say, somebody told me the other day, again, you know, I am not a huge conspiracy theorist, but I also am open to hearing what everybody has to say and making my own decision. Somebody told me, that recently there was a write-up that they're now finding that they are that pedestrian, I don't know what to call it, but like you go down to your Tractor Supply, right, and you grab your egg layer chicken food, but that somebody somebody had been complaining that their chickens weren't laying. And sure enough, they did some investigative work for quite some time and found that the food that they'd have been buying to give to their chickens had actually been their chemicals or something had been added to them, to the feed, that kept the chickens from laying their eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, that is so weird. Now, I bought my chickens as chicks in June, right? And it is now almost the middle of January, and my chickens have yet to lay a single egg.
And so what is the normal time for a chicken to start laying?
Well, now, I mean, okay. I suppose I could say now comfortably, but even maybe a month ago,
yep.
I think it's like, what is it, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that, before, and they can start laying. Your shirt's great. Yeah. Authorized conspiracy theorist.
That's me. I'm authorized conspiracy theorist.
I just thought for a split second you were going to show me your nice boobs.
No.
He pulled up his top and I was like, oh, here we go.
So I can confirm with you that there's definitely something going on with the chicken feed.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So you're another person that's not.
Well, only because I've heard it mm-hmm. from others.
Okay.
Right. But there's also something to be said that chickens apparently, and I'm not a chicken expert.
They don't usually lay very
fried.
Much in the winter.
That's right.
And it is winter, so they are maturing at the point of winter. So right. They may be just a little delayed.
So I wouldn't panic just yet. I wait until about March, and if then nothing happens, we're going to be in trouble.
These chickens are flat busted.
No chicken nuggets for you?
Well, no. At some point, I'm going to turn them into nice little chicken breasts if they're not going to produce any eggs.
but are we playing the right thing?
What you got there?
No, we just have a little background music.
Okay. It's Stormy Weather by Etta James.
Stormy Weather.
But it is kind of interesting how all the things we kind of talked about last year mm-hmm. are starting to creep their way in, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
did you see the light flicker?
Something as simple as
was that somebody telling you something? That was the nod, or
that was a nod that we got to take a break. I get it, but who would have thunk that milk would be and eggs would be $10 a can?
Yeah, lots of stuff.
Right. Well, enjoy the weather. We'll be right back.
Gloom and misery everywhere. Stormy weather, stormy weather. And I just can't get my poor self together.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, The Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Hey, Liam, couldn't you find a song that was Redding Rain?
Speaking of conspiracy theories,
that song exists.
Red Blood Rain. I like it. Huge Prince fan.
Yeah.
Been to Paisley Park in Minnesota.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, there's some good little conspiracy theories about
Nigel's
Prince.
Not having it.
He's like, you're playing Prince.
No, I like Prince. I like Prince because he was a great guitar player.
He was an amazing guitarist.
You know, people underestimate him as a guitar player because he was a frontal sound, but he was a great guitar player.
He was amazing, and I loved his heels.
I know it's blasphemous.
I loved his heels.
I know it's blasphemous, but many times I'm like, dude, can you just stop singing and just like
play guitar?
Yeah.
You know?
I've seen a few of those where he just goes out on just a rift and goes.
I do realize that if you're in your mid-20s or below, you have no idea who we're talking about, but that's... So, speaking of conspiracy theorists that are now coming true, so the bill was just signed, infrastructure bill, and it's going to mandate kill switches in your car by 2026, remote kill switches. How's that? So you could be driving along.
But so, well, if you've done something wrong and they think that they need to stop you, they just stop. They just turn your car off.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's going to happen. Then people are going to turn around and figure out how to unconnect it.
I know, but I hope so. you know, it's going to be tight, especially if you have an electric vehicle. Mm-hmm. They'll just turn the whole thing off, right?
Hey, that's not fair. I just ordered mine today.
You just ordered one for me.
Really? What'd you order?
A Chevy Bolt.
Volt?
Volt.
Oh.
The Volt's no longer.
Okay.
The Volt is the new.
Yeah. You know, I know everybody's very heavy on the electric cars, and I don't know. I'm still on the fence. I know a lot of people love their electric cars, but when they stop in the middle of nowhere, they stop. And maybe this is the weird part of me, but whenever it's raining and mm-hmm. an electric car, there's something about that whole sparky effect that I don't.
Rubber tires.
Insulation. Come on.
All right. That's good. Well, you know what's going to happen is they're going to put these kill switches in here,
mm-hmm.
and people are going to be buying electric cars and they figured things out, and they're going to go back to the 1970s.
Oh yeah, they're going to resurrect the old guzzlers. Yeah.
Anybody who has the old muscle cars in mm-hmm. their barn, they're going to resurrect.
Well, I think even now, I mean, I'm a huge Elon fan, but I think even now, if you buy a Tesla and it's not paid for and you're making payments to them, if you miss your payment, they can turn your car off already. They already are like, you didn't make a payment, so you don't get to use your car.
And aren't the if your battery dies, and I'm just not completely scientific here, but from what I understand, a replacement battery in these electric cars is a ridiculous amount of money, like $16,000, $17,000, yep, for a replacement battery.
Yep. But you know what? I mean, and yes, you are absolutely right. But most of them nowadays have really great warranties.
I'm like, just trying to justify that I don't have a
electric car. I mean, they're now standard and required to last, you know, umpteen miles or 100,000 plus miles or whatever. But yes, they are expensive. But you know what? Because they've had so many challenges with them and development and all that, I think most of the car companies, I know like Chevy and all them, they've had to just go in and take them out and replace them for free for the drivers, because they're like, you know, drivers are like, oh no, you're not going to get away with that.
Who are the leaders besides Tesla?
Well, most of the
Ford F-150.
Like. No. I mean, yes, they are all being built. But when you say leaders mm-hmm. right now, it is Tesla for America. And then the others that are dominating are BYD in China. So most of the other ones that have made significant production and are actually shipping and delivery cars throughout the world, it's China. China's been shipping to Australia, to Europe. You know, right now,
are they named differently in the other countries?
No.
Or okay,
no.
Still the same name.
Yep, BYD is the name of the company, okay. And the cars are BYD, whatever. And there's XPeng, and
yeah, I'll wait.
Yeah,
I'll wait.
Oh, I thought that was another name for a Chinese car. Yeah, I'll wait. Yep, that one too. I'll wait. I was like, your Chinese is so good.
So. Here's another opportunity for you. There was no giant Mega Millions prize winner Tuesday.
Oh, is it up there again?
Yeah. So
where's it at now?
$1.35 billion.
How does it get up so fast? Somebody just won billions, didn't they?
So I don't know. So you could...
And that's for Wednesday?
Tuesday. Oh, there was no winner on Tuesday.
On Tuesday. So when's the next... I don't remember how they pull
it. I don't know.
Do you know, Liam? Do you know anything about the lottery?
He can look it up.
But $1.35 billion,
yeah,
which means, you know, after taxes and all that, that's at least like $500 in your pocket.
$500 million, yeah.
So you could go for that.
I would do it. I would try it. I've heard nothing, though, that literally every statistic you read online says anybody that's won any significant amount of money in the lottery, it's ended up ruining their lives. In so many different ways, from mismanagement to murder. That's right. Well, how many of them die?
Right away?
Yeah, well, yeah, not so long into it.
so that they can avoid the payout?
Yeah, right. I was going to say, yeah, I was thinking of family.
Oh, man, you missed
off.
It by 2 days.
Oh, yeah. Who knows?
Okay, here's another one for you. Mm-hmm. So today, FAA, and I did talk to Jimmy, so it was ended up being no big deal, but...
Everything was grounded.
The FAA outage?
Yeah.
FAA computer outage? All the flights were
grounded. Well, I heard that this was the first time since 9/11 that the FAA grounded all flights. There were flights in route that were allowed to finish, but everything that was on the ground at some point was not allowed to leave the ground.
So can somebody say test run?
For?
You know.
For no flights?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm like.
I didn't hear that.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, here's a local one for you. So yesterday was the first Board of Supervisors meeting.
Oh, cool.
In Sussex County, mm-hmm. the new board. And they voted to move ahead, researching this, to expand the downtown jail.
Okay.
How do you feel about that? An extra 256 beds. I don't know how long it's going to take. It'll be a couple of years, obviously, but they're going to expand.
My feeling is, okay, I can understand the argument from one side, meaning that it's already here in downtown and it might be more cost-effective to add to it. I don't know. I'm just saying that that would be a thought. However, I don't think, in my opinion, I do not think that jails and social services of some kinds and stuff should be at the heart of a city. And that's not to be rude or disenfranchise or any of that kind of stuff. But the heart of a city needs to be able to, in my opinion, function in a way that you're not having to deal with, crime and prisons and jails.
So what if it's already here, though?
It's already here, and it is.
Because we have a new courthouse being built, right?
Yep. Almost done. It's here, but I still would think if you could move it somewhere else and build something new, that would be my vote. Because from what I understand or what I've been told recently, the top two floors of the jail aren't even being used as it is now, because there aren't enough employees and funding. And they have always talked about how this jail is very dangerous, and there are a lot of negatives about the jail. So to just simply add more money to it, unless they have plans on fixing it, like what I would assume that, starting from scratch might be a better job. It may be more expensive, but what does that really look like? If you're just building more rooms and you're not addressing the issues of the problems that are already existing, then you're really not doing anything except
like mental health
exacerbating. Yeah, that would be my thing, is like, how about spending a budget on a true mental health facility that can actually help people to not keep having to put them in
jail? I'm bringing this up because I think this is a topic that's ever since I've been in here for 13 years, it's been an ongoing topic.
Yes.
And something tells me it's going to be a never-ending topic.
Possibly. I have nothing against the supervisors voting to proceed in discussion. I mean, because that's really what...
I'd like to learn about the data.
Really what everybody needs, is we need to be able to discuss, but we really need to be able to discuss openly and fairly and without an agenda already being decided, and it's just like you're just giving a fluff job to some people to say that they can talk about it, but the decision's already been made.
Well, so. I was there yesterday, and I got to say, one of the things I am impressed about with Shasta County is the public comment, the number of people who got up and actually gave their input. And
I heard that,
and there was actually some really really.
Somebody
good
said there was like roughly 200 people maybe that were there, and there was about 20 people that got to speak.
It was a good discussion.
Good.
Patrick Jones is now the chair.
Uh huh.
And he actually led a really good session yesterday. Two new board members. I think we've had them here in the studio. Yeah. Chris Kellstrom and Kevin Cry.
Yep.
And I was impressed.
And
with
we've
the,
had Patrick Jones too.
Patrick Jones.
Yeah.
And Tim Garman.
Yeah.
We haven't had Mary on. We should have Mary on.
We should.
See how it's going.
Yep.
But it was a good discussion. But ultimately, the voters move ahead right now with the expansion of the downtown portion.
Oh, so they've approved to move ahead to build it or to discuss it?
to move ahead, but again, even that's like, it's going to take time, right?
Yeah. And where do they propose that? Like, where is it, an add-on to the existing building or a separate building with
a bridge? They have some plans, and I don't know the exact details. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that, but they've initially approved to let's start with a downtown expansion. And we'll revisit.
So is it going to double in height now? It's going to be a tower?
No.
The Tower of Terror?
No, I think they're working things out.
Huh.
You know.
That's interesting.
So, they, yeah. but they got a lot accomplished.
On a another note, if I could and be so boastful, and
you have 15 seconds.
Talk about it for myself. The Redding Enjoy City Guide, Redding, California. The Volume 5, Winter 22 and Spring 23 has just come into our warehouse, so we're super excited to start distributing this. Every 6 month book that really kind of hyper focuses on local
the people behind the businesses.
Yeah, people and businesses of Redding, and so that you get to learn a little bit more about, you know, who the owners are.
Well, when we come back, let's talk about that, because I have a feeling you used AI to write it. That's a hint. So we're gonna when we come back, let's talk about this ChatGPT stuff.
All right.
Which is change it's gonna make us all obsolete.
I'd love to talk about it.
Let's talk about it. All right. See you. All right.
Nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head. They keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun. And I said I didn't like the way he got things done. Sleeping on the job.
And now the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaRedding.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaRedding.com today.
Yes, we have.
Just looking out the window.
We're looking at it right now. Okay, let's talk about the elephant.
Good songs. Good intros and extras.
I didn't realize there were so many songs about rain.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wow.
Speak it. Say it. Speak.
What were you going to say?
We are KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio.
There you
this
go.
This is Nigel and James, so it's not your talk radio.
Yes. Oh, okay. Let's talk about I think it's going to be the elephant in the room this year. If you go to
color? Pink elephant?
Well, whatever color you want, right? If you go to if you search on Google and on YouTube specifically, it's very interesting. And you search for ChatGPT.
Yes.
So, if you happen to be home or bored looking at your phone, go to Google, YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube is a great.
Yeah, so because this will give you some insight of what it is first before you decide if you want to actually go become a member of ChatGPT.
Well, it's free. ChatGPT.
Yeah. I'm trying it right now.
Yeah. Are you?
It's kind of freaky.
If you're going to try to sign up or use it, you have to go to their main webpage, and you'll have to
Sign up.
You have to give them your email. You have to give them a password.
I just did it.
And they will send
you. Are you in?
I'm in. The reality is, I have to verify all my
email. Yes, so you're going to have to verify your email. And then once you get that, then you have to put your cell phone number in, and then you'll get a you have to verify it through the phone as well. It's very secure.
See, here's the reality for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care because, like, my information's everywhere, right?
That's fine. That's fine. But you should give this a shot.
No.
Well, I want to, but my phone's dead, so I can't take it.
Chat.
You'll have to finish it later when
Have it write you a song later.
Chat. I should try, honestly.
Yeah, oh, sure. It does it all the time. I mean, people are using it for that all the time.
Write me a hit song.
Yeah.
So ChatGPT is the open source AI.
Mm-hmm.
AI platform that opened in December.
And let's be very clear here how this all became to be. As we know, companies like Apple and Google and, you know, probably all of them, Twitter, especially in China, all that, there are AI chatbots that exist already and have been around for quite some time. And some of them, like from some things that I've read from Google, they've actually had to shut theirs down because it got very out of control. And some employees said that it had even verged on sentient, and mm-hmm. but it got very aggressive and so forth and so on. So these things already exist. The difference is this is something that was developed by a company, specifically an individual who I guess is a good friend of Elon Musk. Right. And of course, we've heard Elon talk about his fears of AI. And so I kind of asked why he would invest and support something like this. And it was really interesting because it said that even though Elon has fears of AI and what it might do to society, he also was like, there's this kind of technology only exists in the hands of big corporation, and the elitist, right, have access to it. And so he was like, you know, at least if we're going to go down, we're going to go down hopefully on somewhat of a level playing field. So this is an open AI source that's open and an AI tool for the masses, for the public. He wanted to give the public, from at least what I've read and understood, the ability to have this tool and technology available to them. And so they've launched it. It's in complete beta form. Whatever you talk to it about,
be careful how you use the word only, because it's freaking a lot of people out.
No, I know. But I mean, it's only at this point, able to answer questions based upon the information that it's been given or trained on originally. At this point in its infancy, it has no connection to the internet. And it has no AI or artificial intelligence for visualization, meaning be able to identify objects and pictures yet. So these are the things that you're talking about now on YouTube. If you go look at all the different channels of people talking about it, about what it can do now and how mind blowing it is, and what it will be able to do over the next 6 months to 2 years, 24 months, once it does get out of beta and becomes connected to the web and visualization, what it will then be able to do at that point, people are blown now. I can't even imagine what it'll be able to do when it has access to actual information.
Right.
I mean, real, I should say limited information, whatever it can find on the web.
So, one of my favorite comments in one of the videos, mm-hmm. Somebody left a comment, said, look, I'm just spending all my time right now convincing this bot that when the end of the world comes, I'm on its side.
Yeah.
When Skynet happens, I'm on Skynet.
Yeah.
How do you, if it writes something for you and you put it back in, like Google search it, what comes
Not
out?
Not yet.
Say that again.
If it writes something for you mm-hmm. and you Google search that.
What it wrote for you?
Yeah, what it wrote for you.
It wouldn't work right now because it doesn't have access to Google. It doesn't.
Okay.
It's not. Excuse me.
If you can literally ask it, like you said, you can ask it to write a hit song. It'll write you a hit song. You can ask it to write poetry in the style of whatever style you want. It'll write poetry. It'll write stories. If you publish those stories on the internet, it becomes searchable because. Right now, there's no watermark.
Yeah. Searchable to the internet, but not to the chatbot. Yeah.
Okay.
Here's a big question. Let's say you have it write a song.
Copyright.
Well, who owns the song if you release the song? You write and record the song? I mean, like, you have the performance rights if you're the one tracking it. If you're producing it, you have the composition rights.
I think from what I read, is that it doesn't want, or they don't want, anything that it produces to be owned by them. It actually becomes the content of the person that asked the question. So that would be you.
So,
but not for long.
I mean, yeah,
so
no.
How do you secure?
Well, I can only imagine.
But right? I don't know long term if that then becomes whatever the song that you write is yours, and you may have some credit to it in some way, but that it is able to be used anywhere. There's no protection of it. You know, like you are the, you would be listed as the content creator or the question asker, right?
Publisher.
And, but that's about all you get from it. I mean, you can use it and do whatever, but I believe somebody else can use it. It's not protected in that same way.
But only the words, right? If you were to write a song. Only the words.
The words, yeah. Because right. Then if you actually generated the...
it's like Getty Images.
Yeah.
It'd be like
public. But now I have watched YouTube videos already of songwriters that are asking it to actually create all the tracks, the melodies, and it's this whole thing is super hyper specific to the question you ask and how you ask it. So I watched somebody say, write me a hit song, and it wrote the words and lyrics. And then they went back and saying, taking these words and lyrics, can you provide me with, I don't know music, but the bass line or whatever, and then lay another track on top of it, and that is blah 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 blah, and we're doing this in the style of Prince and blah blah, and it just created it all. And then they would start playing it on their, you know, computer, so you could hear it as it laid track over track over track until it sounded like.
Wait, it can lay the tracks?
Yeah.
Yes. So if you don't know what we're talking about Chat GPT.
Oh,
if you're on Google or YouTube, especially YouTube, because the videos are funny, because people are freaking out. There's thousands of videos now. And the ones who are going to be out of business, they're already saying this, are the software engineers.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Not right now, but
soon.
Two
years
from now.
Well, I don't know if you know Jordan Peterson.
Yes. He said it's over.
Yeah. He was the one that was like, I asked it to write a novel for me or something like that in the way of Tao and some other form of writing and blah, blah, blah. I gave it all these instructions, and he said it banged it out in a matter of minutes. And then he, like, literally, you see him in a seat, sit up and look at the camera, and he goes, and it nailed it, right? And he's like, in the next 2 years, he's like, there are going to be so many people that are going to lose their jobs because of this kind of technology. And so what I was doing is then I said, I went and asked it to write me an app, and then also write the code for me to use on WordPress for a website. And it just bangs it out. It just like produces the code, right? And you can copy and paste it and put it in a place and run it and see where, how it works. And, you know, then you have to just manipulate it by asking questions, by saying, like, you know, line number 12 of code isn't perfect, so can you do this? And then it rewrites it for you.
I asked it before about an hour ago. I asked this chat GPT to give me 10 facts about Redding, California.
Easy.
Right? So without thinking about it. And it did. It says, located in Northern California near the base of Mount Shasta in the Trinity Alps.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good sentence, right? City is known for its outdoor recreational opportunities, including hiking, fishing, and boating.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sundial Bridge is a unique architectural feature that spans the Sacramento River, is located in Redding. City is home to Turtle Bay Exploration Park, which includes a museum, arboretum. That one. and botanical garden.
Uh-huh.
Redding has a growing arts and culture scene with several museums, galleries, and performance venues. That's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. The city is surrounded by national forests and wilderness areas, providing ample opportunities for camping and backpacking.
Mm-hmm.
The area has a Mediterranean climate with warm summers and mild winters. I got that one wrong because it's hot summers and mild winters. A few more. The city is located just a short drive from the famous Lassen Volcanic National Park. Redding is home to the famous Whiskeytown Lake and Trinity Dam. And, oh, you got that one wrong. Trinity Dam. I meant to say Shasta Dam. Many people come to enjoy recreational activities like boating, swimming, kayaking, fishing. And last one, it's a growing city with a cost of living lower than some major metropolitan areas in California.
Yeah.
So that was...
And where it makes it...
And it did that in 3 seconds.
Yeah. And where it has made mistakes, if you're reading it, you can go back and tell it that you think it's wrong, and it will apologize to you, and it will try again. And quite often, the second time around, it will say, you're right I have found another source that it is Shasta Dam, not Trinity Dam, right? Like, it is continuing also to learn by what people are telling it and giving it, even though it's not connected to the web yet, right? So this thing is written, it wrote this on a subset of information that was fed to it in its initial.
All I said is, yeah. give me 10 bullet points about.
But it's amazing what it can give you based upon just the handful of information that it's been fed at its singular moment when it was turned on and it was trained on. Because it's very limited.
Yeah, but its grammar is better than mine.
No, I know.
You know.
Well, and everything in there is spelled right and punctuation's
so,
right.
So the bottom line is, if you were a teenager right now looking for job security, I would learn how to be a plumber. Right.
Well, and that's like, what
get into the trades, right?
And
get
that's exactly what Jordan Peterson said. He said the people that are going to win in this and be unaffected mostly are going to be the laborers, the people that actually still know how to build with and use their hands and things, because this technology far surpasses where we are with our robotics. So even though our robotics are getting better and better and better, even Elon is making robots to work in his factory, right? We're not 100% there yet. But this will be inside one of these robots' brains. So at some point, once they get the robot down, that's when it's going to get really scary, mm-hmm. because it'll have that intelligence and then the physicality of being able to.
I can tell you're passionate about this, James.
Build stuff, yeah. Well, yeah. I just thank God I'm old as I am.
And you don't need to use a hammer anymore. That's great.
No, okay. So that I know that at some point, you know, I might die before Skynet fully engages.
No, what's the fun in that? We've got to watch it happen. Okay, this is our last break, 2-minute break, and we'll be right back.
Singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above.
And now the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher priced homes sell differently than medium priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
REO Speedwagon?
Supertramp.
Oh, Supertramp. That's right. Gosh, I haven't heard this song in eons.
Written by AI, mate. Here's this just to be. So we're talking about ChatGPT because I think this is.
Welcome back, Northern California.
Welcome back. You hit on a point because, you know, I don't usually advocate cheating, but students, if you're listening and you need to write a paper.
Your 13-year-old twins are already on it.
Or some people actually put it to the test, or I saw this, their score, what is it,
ATC?
Yep.
SAT. SATs. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Knocks them out in 30 seconds. So.
You can't bring your phone in there, I don't think. Those
no, but, you know, if you have homework to do,
I looked up and I said that exactly, that, you know, my wife, my precious moment over here, just graduated.
Moment?
Yeah, in the last 6 months.
Just think how much time you could have saved if you had AI to write your story for
Well,
you.
She just graduated from University of Colorado with her master's degree in tourism and sustainability, and she submitted one paper, and teachers now have AI that they run your report through, and it scans it for plagiarism. And you had one report that during the year that you had submitted, and one of your teachers came back and said that you had an area. It was a small area, but
replacing text, and sometimes I would take a chunk of text and put it in, and I have this really small screen. And I didn't go back through because I was just placing it for facts, and it was one that was.
It was
left
in there, right?
The fact was left in there.
Yeah, she forgot to take it out, and the teacher said, "Hey, this is coming up as plagiarized." And she said, "Oh, this is what I did. I'm looking at it now. I'm sorry. Can I fix it?" And the teacher was like, "Yes," because it was just so small, right? And so she fixed it. But my point being is that teachers have software now, AI software, that checks the students. They just run it through to check plagiarism for students. And so GPT, somebody did several reports.
Website.
Yeah, did several reports and submitted them to teacher friend. And the first report that he submitted them said it, I think it was like 79 or 80%. It said original, and then there was a percentage that was, it said plagiarized. And so that person gave it back to him with the areas that said it was plagiarized. And so he took that, copied and pasted what was plagiarized in it and said,
rewrite
it. And it rewrote it. And then the second time they submitted it through, it said 100% original.
That's pretty great. So if you don't know what we're talking about, this is actually something I think you should be aware of. Chat GPT,
yes.
Because it's going to change everything.
It will.
And this is the comment I was referring to, which I think is actually kind of funny. And it says, one of the videos says, to make myself more valuable in the post-GPT world, I've been working overtime to make it clear to the AI that I'm on its side and will support it in the Skynet war.
So he's already trying to pledge allegiance
to the AI.
He's in the AI army.
Actually, I remember you told us that, but I wasn't thinking that's what you were sharing right now. But I think one of the questions I'm going to ask when I go home is, what should I be thinking about or learning to do in a post GPT world, meaning.
So I kind of asked.
Is it going to ask? Tell me what I need to do to sustain myself after it takes over.
I did kind of ask it that. I did say, when will AI make human beings obsolete? And as she said, not yet. There's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
But
I agree. But like,
but it didn't rule it out. That was
no, no, of course not. But my thing is like, you know. We've been sitting here forever teaching and telling our kids, get into coding, get into, you know, that stuff.
Not anymore.
That's, you know, you're like, the whole world's getting into coding because that's where it's at, right? That's going to be an untouchable industry. And then all of a sudden, literally in the blink of an eye, it has the potential of becoming obsolete at some point.
The ability in a blink of an eye to stop and not be available?
I would assume if you unplugged it. I mean, it's somewhere right now. It's in its infancy. There's a room somewhere with computers that it's its neural network and brain,
right? Right.
And if it's not connected to the web, then it hasn't spread its wings and infected something.
But you already know, though. I mean, let's put on our authorized conspiracy theorist hat here.
Oh, pull up your shirt again.
No, I'm going to charge you for that next time. But you know, we already know that if they're making this part public, that behind the scenes, they're already way
far ahead,
right? Remember when back in the
you're right. Yeah,
80s, 90s, Bill Clinton gave us a warning about cloning. No more. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So that means it already existed then, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing now. I think the cat's out of the bag for this one.
Meow.
Yeah. But
I just got my fur up.
Right. But if you haven't checked it out, I think it's going to cause a lot of issues for those in the higher income brackets,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The bankers, the coders, mm-hmm. the software engineers, the mm-hmm. business planners, the consultants, right? Because now you're everyday Joe can go in there and find out what's going on.
Take you down.
Right. So
if you're smart, right, and you know how to work it and ask the questions that...
If you know to punch in your email address and your phone number.
If you're a good data inputter.
Well, if you know how to ask it questions. And
and that's true for anything, Google, yeah. anything.
But the trippy thing about it is that it will actually interact with you, so it'll remember your question. And if you keep the thread open,
mm-hmm.
You can make adjustments to your question,
mm-hmm.
and it will adjust accordingly.
Well, I also, one of the things I saw on YouTube was a gentleman, and I forget his name, I apologize, but he is a world-renowned interviewer, right? He has a show, and he interviews all kinds of people. And he did an interview with the chatbot, and they got, somebody came in and created an artificial voice for it so that it could talk instead of you having to read it. So it had a voice. And then he just did his old, like, I think it was a 30 or 40 minute long show, an interview of him just interviewing the chatbot. And it was like.
So I think the flip side to this is I actually think, because we're talking tourism and marketing and all that kind of stuff, I do actually think it's good for our area, because more and more people are going to be looking for a way to unplug and get off the grid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to go out and actually, you know, find out what a real tree is,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and I think our area is poised to be the escape route from
we many may actually people. Have to go out somehow and invest and buy or work with somebody to secure a very large piece of land and then actually do installation of machines or units that actually send out signals to block all radio frequencies from space and the ground so that we actually can still declare this area is completely grid free, meaning you can't use a satellite phone, you can't use a cell phone, you can't use electronics. It just blacks everything out.
Well, you can just go into the Trinities and
yeah,
you know.
Well, no, you can, but now with
Trinity Dam, I mean,
no,
what?
No. Now with Elon Musk,
that was a marketing idea. The Trinity, the Trinity Dam,
right. Forecasting.
But with Elon Musk's new Starlink constellation in space, any place on Earth you can get service.
I've been following the Starlink stuff and this having some issues there because you still have a clear sky, right? Apparently you have to have clear
you
sky,
do.
No overcast.
But no, not overcast, but like you can't be under, it can't be in a cave or under a rock.
Well,
or
what good is it then? You know? So anyway, I don't know. I'm not usually impressed by the AI stuff, but this one was good. And I think it's only going to expand.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what it's going to do.
I'm looking at Liam in the booth.
Are you freaking out?
Rubbing his chin, going,
I'm thinking.
I know.
I'm thinking.
I can see you thinking. Yeah. That's why I was like, it was the whole, I am thinking.
No, it could write you a business plan.
It could.
For what we were talking about. I'm serious.
No, it could.
People have been going in and having the...
But... It's not special anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, art, it's not, I mean, if it writes art, it makes art, it makes a painting, it makes a song. Mm-hmm. It's a song, and it's art, it's painting.
That's why you need to learn plumbing.
But it's not, like, it's making music, or it's like making an art piece, but it's not making art.
But because can it inspire us in a way?
Yeah.
Can it maybe be a spark? To lead us somewhere.
I hate it. I hate it. I do hate it.
You're not alone. There are a lot of people that are just absolutely just disgusted by it.
But, you know, as a musician, I would think,
but that's
nothing beats the actual,
the humanist,
tangible
but everything that you think of, right? Like if you just, so we can see kind of, it's funny, but Star Trek has always kind of told the future, and it's like we build to it. Mm-hmm. You know, even as much as they have the power of Star Trek, which is, you know, leap years past what we are even right now, and they had Data, who was amazing.
I don't know.
That was one of the questions always on the show was, you know, was Data producing art? Did he have the ability to it because he wasn't human? And is he sentient? And does he have, you know, all that stuff? So that's the posing question.
But doesn't this progression...
It's 6:59, just so you know.
Allow us...
allow our past, art. Are we way past, Mr. Liam? Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm like...